Alpha, station on two. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Chris, with AM2.
Hey, good morning, Misa. Great to hear your voice and great to work with you today. I wanted to let you know that I have the GEM camera 2 powered on and pointed at, I think, what is a good area for the GEM airlock and slide table work. But you're welcome to come on board and let me know if you'd like any adjustments. Thank you.
Hi, Chris. I'm excited to work with you today. Thank you. And copy. So we're working on it.
Great. Thank you.
Station Scuba on Fish Ground 2 for Chris about camera view.
And on 2.
Yes, Chris, we've come on board and we have good field of view. Thank you. And I'd like you to give you a heads up when you are ready to copy about your activity.
Great news on the camera view, and I am ready to copy. Thank you.
Yes, today's comm is a little unstable, so I want to tell you, I want to give you information about step 2.2 in ODF 2.321, from airlock slide table extension to JPM. So the expected differential pressure is almost zero.
That. So in step 2.2 of 2.321, the expected differential pressure is approximately zero.
That's good. Read back, Chris. And one more thing about step 1.1 in ODF 2.402, SFA checkout cable connection. So you are go in step 1.1.
Copy that. In step 1.1 of 2.402 SFA checkout cable connection, I have a go.
That's good understanding. Thank you.
Thanks very much. And if it's okay with you guys, in maybe about five to 10 minutes, if it's okay to get started a little early, I'd like to do that. Otherwise, I'm happy to wait.
Thank you for your offer, and you will go in your activity.
Copy that. I will get started in about 5 to 10 minutes. Thank you.
Awesome. Copy.
Scuba, station on 2 for the airlock slide table extension. The delta pressure in step 2.2 is showing approximately zero, just about a needle's width on the minus side.
Hi, Chris. That's a good number, and you can proceed the slide table extension.
Copy. Proceeding in step 2.3.
That's good. We're back. Thank you.
Scuba, station on 2 for the SFA checkout cable connection.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Just for your awareness, I'm in step 4.1, and the BUC P6 connector on the BDS cable 9 did not appear to have a protective cap on it. It was just uncapped. The other end of the cable did have a cap, but this connector did not have a cap when I took it out of the bag. I can look around and see if it might be floating in there somewhere, but it does not have a cap. And all the pins look good. I don't see any damage or anything to any pins.
Copy, Chris. Thanks for the info. And you can proceed in 4 steps. You can leave it as it is.
Copy that, and we'll go. Scuba, station on 2. Connecting of the SFA checkout cable is completed in step 4.2.
Copy, Chris. Thanks for the info.
Scuba, station on 2 for your awareness. I'm beginning 2.484, the XF705 relocate.
Copy, Chris. Thank you for the status.
Houston, station on 2 for the caution warning.
Station Houston on 2. Were you calling for Houston?
Yeah, Houston, we just had a caution and warning go off and just clear. I'm just checking it out now.
station Houston on 2 for Chris in Caution Warning.
Go ahead, Houston.
Yeah, I think that message went in so fast we didn't see it down here, but looking back at our telemetry, looks like we got a data hit on the P6 truss. This is something we've seen before, no actions for you, and we'll just keep looking at the system.
Yep, yeah, copy all. I see the same thing, a bunch of EPS messages that are now norm from the P6 truss. Copy, no action, and I'll just let Sergey and Sergey know we're all good. Definitely woke me up.
We'll provide you with the caffeine. Thanks for being our eyes and ears up there.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Scuba station on 2, I'll be right back to the SSOD. I've got a view of the top two cams, the top cam, and then I'll move it down to the dual launcher in a moment.
Copy, Chris. I got your situation. Thank you.
Scuba station on 2, I'm back with you. I've completed step 4 of 2.484. Let me know if you like that XF705 view, and ready for SSOD checkout.
Hi, Chris. I'm glad you're back, and we're checking the view. I'll let you know once we figure it out. Station Scuba on Space Ground 2 for Chris about camera orientation.
Go ahead for Chris on camera orientation.
Yes, so we appreciate you adjust the camera orientation a little bit so that the deploy case can be in the center of the view. And also, all the cam op separation mechanisms are also in the camera view. Would be great.
Okay, copy. I'll adjust it a little bit so that all of the deploy cases are fully in the view, and make sure that all four of the cam mechanisms are in the view. Let me adjust it slightly.
Copy. Thank you.
Scuba, station on 2, I have adjusted the view so that I see all four of the cam mechanisms and the full doors. Let me know if that is, that's okay.
Okay, Chris, thank you for your help, and could you zoom in a little bit?
Copy, zoom in a little bit, yep. And Scuba, station on 2, let me know if that works.
Thank you, Chris. So give us a moment to check the view.
Copy.
Station Scuba on Space Ground 2, back with you, Chris. We have perfect view. Thank you for your help.
You're very welcome. Glad that's what you're looking for. And yep, I'm complete in this procedure. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for your great work.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Houston, station on 2 for Dragon Pack.
With you on 2.
I just, so that you guys have some extra SA, you're welcome if you want to come on board. I put lab cam 2 facing node 2, and then I turned on both node 2 cams as well, one of them trying to give a view into the Dragon, and I will probably try to hop on the virtual ATU if I'm going to be spending any significant amount of time inside the Dragon, just for your guys' awareness.
We appreciate it, and we'll take you up on that offer. We'll be on 4 as well.
Sounds good. And one quick question. I think everything is all good, but in step 98.02, when I was looking through the 4.0 SpaceX Return 2, I found a bubble bag that did contain the EMU water processing jumper serial number 1005, but the outer bubble bag was labeled serial number 1004, and I'm just assuming somebody didn't cross out the number, but I wanted to make sure there weren't any potential mix-ups. I do have water processing jumper 1005 in a bubble bag, which I have relabeled 1005, but just wanted to double-check.
We are pretty sure you got the correct one, but we'll do another double check on the ground just to make sure.
Appreciate it. Thanks. The Houston station on 2 for stowage, 98.03. Just wanted to double check I do have water processing jumper 1006. Just want to double check. It looks like a brand new unused one, and that is in fact the one we're packing.
And per the manifest, that is the one we are packing.
Copy. I just figured it was worth a double check.
Understand, and keep doing that.
Houston, station on 2 for Dragon packing 98.09.
With you on 2.
I was just trying to load this 1.8 CTD, and the way this step is written makes me... So the way it looks in the Dragon, I feel like strap A should not be on top of the 1.8 CTD. It should be under it. But the way this step is written, it makes me think that strap A should be on top of the 1.8 CTD securing it in. And I just wanted to double-check what configuration that strap should be.
And we're checking, and we're about to go into a 16-minute LOS, so we may not get you the answer until after.
Copy that. I'll do something, and I will undo it if I did it incorrectly. I'll take a gamble.
Sounds good, and sounds like a plan.
Station Easton on 2 for Chris and Stowage.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris.
Hey, Chris, a couple items. First, we've double-checked in 98.02 the water processing jumpers. You got the correct one, so we're all good there. And then in step 98.09, if you look at the reference that's listed there, we just need strap A in the step secured above the CTV. So just that strap A secured above. And then strap C, E, F, G, and H will be done later, so just make sure they're accessible.
Okay, yeah, just a clarification for that. And I guess, so one of the things that's a potential point of confusion is there's two straps, two alpha straps right there. There's the purple alpha strap and the white alpha strap. So the one for the basement center and then the one for the base, for the opposite side. The white alpha strap, which is the basement center strap, if that strap were to move, be straight, be in line with its mounting points, it seems like it wouldn't actually cross that 1.8. It would go where the Norris tank is going to go, and so I just wanted to double-check on that. I can maybe some pictures would help. I'm over in the PMM, but when I get back there, I might be able to just snap some pictures and show you what I'm wondering about. And I'm also wondering whether this didn't come up or 2 days ago, but it looks like it's the same thing for the Norris foam on the other side with the strap Bravo.
Yeah, appreciate those extra words. Pictures would definitely be helpful. We're not tracking the different colors right now, but we'll look into it.
Copy. Yeah, let's put the strapping reference in this. So there's sort of a couple CTBs on the basement. Sorry, my orientation's getting all flipped around. I believe it's the basement aft, and there's a purple strap alpha there, which is underneath the 1.8 that I put in. And I thought that was the one we were talking about, but then I saw that there's also a white white alpha that looks like it comes sort of across. It wouldn't cross where the 1.8 is. It would cross where the Norris tank is. That's going to go on top of it would go.
Copy all. Thanks for the extra words.
And I'll send some pictures when I get back to the Dragon. I'm just finishing some PMM steps right now.
Appreciate it.
Houston, station on Space to Ground 2, 101.03.
With you on 2.
Yeah, I have a ISA scope meter pressure probe, I wanted to just verify the serial number with you. It's 1-000-230-19389, and I got that from from 1.0 CTB 1256.
You got the right one?
Copy. Houston, station on 2 for Stotrac 102.05.
With you on 2.
Yeah, this step has me verify that there are three acoustic monitor microphone and preamp cables, but there appear to be four in this. There's three that are attached to the different acoustic monitors, and then there's one in a bag. And I will try to get you serial numbers if I can find where they are on these things.
We were just about to ask for that one.
Okay, and I found the extra serial number is 43599, and that one is connected to one of the acoustic monitors.
43599, checking.
And it's also interesting because the note here says there should be four windscreens, so there are four windscreens, and I mean the windscreens are on top of the microphones, so it makes sense that there's four, I guess.
We're still checking that serial number, but we concur with your logic.
Scuba, station on two.
And Chris, had it over from Misha. This is Shami again. Go ahead.
Hey, Shami. I just wanted to call because it looks like we might have some intermittent comm at the time of the SFA checkout cable disconnection, and I just wanted to check in advance if I could have a go in step 5.1.
Hey, Chris, you without mind. Yes, you are go at step 5.1, and we have a heads up for the steps when you're ready to copy.
I am ready to copy.
Yes, you previously noted that, reported that BUC Papa 6 connector shell, it's uncapped, and I'd like you to put the captain tape on it, and it's step 5.3.
See that? Well, I'll put some Kapton tape on it in step 5.3. I wasn't able to find the cap. I looked around in the bags. I didn't see any evidence of a cap, unfortunately.
Thank you, Chris. That's a great data point. Appreciate it. And talk to you on the other side of the OS.
See that? Yep. I'll get started on that in a few minutes, and then I'll be back to you on the other side of the OS. Thanks.
Not bad. No rat.
Station Houston on two for Chris and acoustic monitors.
Go ahead,
Andrew. Yeah, looking a little bit deeper into it, it looks like we have four manifested for return, so the bag as is good. It looks like just the so track mess there.
Copy. Sounds good. I will keep all four in that cushion, and I'll push up that bag and then move on to my SSOD ops. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Scuba, station on two for the SSOD SFA checkout cable disconnection.
Chris, go ahead on two.
Hey, Tommy, I am all complete in that task, and photos are on SSC 20.
Cop that, photos SSC 20. That's perfect. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'll be back with you a little bit later today.
No problem. We are here. Enjoy your lunch.
Thank you very much. Scuba, this is station on two. Just letting you know, I'm picking up in 2.484.
And Chris, welcome back. You are good to go. We're starting the task now.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Station Scuba on station 2 for Chris at your convenience. If you could pan the XF705 to the right, I mean to the starboard, so that we can see the deployer, the mouse of the deployer, that'd be great. Looks good.
Scuba. Does that look good? All right.
Thanks. Station Scuba on station 3 for Chris. Now we are losing KU. At your convenience, I'll give you a heads up.
And station on 2, copy that. Thank you. I'll be on 2.
All right, Chris, I'll give you a heads up. And I will be in 12-minute LOS coming up in 8 minutes. And the forward plan, you'll be reading out the multimeter readings at step 5.8. And, yeah, we will lose, once it's in LOS, you can proceed as long as the number is expected, like more than 2-port or OL overload. And you can continue up until 8.6. And please wait for us at the end of 8.6. Hard copy.
Copy that. If I have the expected measurement of more than 2 volts or overload at 5.8, then I can continue, but I will wait for you in 8.6.
Perfect. Thank you.
Copy all. Cuba, station on Space to Ground 2.
Chris, go ahead.
Since I have you, I just wanted to confirm in 5.8 that I have a reading of overload on the multimeter.
Chris, you are faster than we are. Copy that overload, and you can continue. That's expected. And please wait for us at step 9.1 at this time during the LOF if you hit that point.
Copy that. Proceeding, and I can go up to 9.1, and that's where I will wait for you at 9.1.
That's a good copy. Thank you.
Scuba, station on 2 for SSOD.
And we're back with you on KU now, all right?
Yeah, I'm at step 9.2 and am ready to proceed if it works for you.
All right, Chris, we are ready anytime for 9.2.
Copy that. I'm proceeding in 9.2.
Good copy. Station Scuba on Space Ground 2 for Chris at your convenience. Rush.
Go ahead on 2.
Yeah, you might have already realized that the captain tape at the aft side, the opening of the launcher, you can take off the captain tape anytime.
See that, yes, thanks. I was going to ask about that, whether I should remove it or put it back on. I will completely remove it. Thank you.
Hey Chris, just to be on the same page, the tape, could you point out the captain tape I mentioned and so that we can be on the same page? A firm, yes, bingo. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Station to go on Space Ground 2 for Chris. No response required. We'll be in 9-minute LOS in 1.5 minutes. And we're going to have a video tour after this, but take a video after the LOS, after 9 minutes.
Copy that. We'll do the video tour after the LOS. And, yeah, I've just about got this folded. I think I'm pretty happy with it. I'm just double-checking that all the Velcro tabs are sorted correctly.
Yeah, from the boot point from here, so far the MRIs are so beautiful.
Scuba, station on 2. I am complete through 11.10 and ready for the video tour.
Copy that, Chris. We are back, and we are ready for the video tour.
Copy that. I'll grab the camcorder and just let me know what areas, if any, you'd like me to give to go back to or more detail on.
And Chris, copy that. We're back on the KU now. Oh, okay. I see the video now. And we need a video entirely on the facade.
Copy that. I will give you the tour. Stand by. I need to give myself a little more slack in the cable.
And just give a copy.
Okay. Resuming the tour.
Copy that.
Okay. Video tour is complete. Let me know if there's any areas you'd like to go back to.
Jim, back with you. Back with you on 2, Chris, perfect, impeccable, and we can call it video tour. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. I'm very, very grateful. All of my cosmic origami practice at Scuba when I was in training paid off. So thank you to the instructors that helped me learn how to do this so well.
Okay, yeah, I will pass that on. And yes, I like the term cosmic origami. Thank you for the words.
Scuba, station on Space to Ground 2. Been complete in 2.484 and working on stowing tools, equipment, and hardware.
And Chris, we concur. Copy that. Thank you very much.
And Scuba, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just proceed into the slide table retraction now, if that's all right.
Good to go anytime.
Copy that. I am going to start in 2.322.
Copy all.
Scuba, station on 2. I'm complete in 2.322, and the GEM airlock slide table is retracted into the GEM airlock from the JPM.
All right, copy, Chris. Thank you very much. So really, thank you for working really hard for us for 2 days in a row. It was really fun. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. It was great working with you as well. And, well, yeah, it was a fun 2 days of working and putting my gym training into use. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris at your convenience.
Yep, with you on 2.
Hey, Chris, I got 2 things for you. First, we saw your crew note this morning about the Cygnus duct. And given your report, we would like to return the Cygnus duct to its nominal config, route it back into the Node 1 cabin. When you're routing it, please be careful to avoid contact with the Node 1 Nader hatch seals. Make sure you minimize bins in the ducting, and please do not block the PEPS locker. You can secure the end of the IMV duct to any Node 1 handrail. Make sure to orient the inlet away from or parallel to the structure with Velcro straps. Reference images, if you'd like, in Cygnus Ops 1.112, Cygnus Ingress on Node 1 Nader, step 4.4, using figures 9 and 10 for copy.
Yeah, copy that. So we're going to put the Cygnus duct back to nominal config. That's totally fine. Happy to do that. And I copied, I think it was 1.112, step 4, block 4, figures 9 and 10. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That is a good readback. And we are getting ready for your VIP event with the Honorable Michael Cloud, the 27th Congressional District of Texas. And I'd like to do a comm check with you on our black phone down here, if you've got a second.
Absolutely. I got the camera set up in the gym. I need to get the are we going to do it over Space to Ground or over the mic setup?
We'll do it over Space to Ground, too.
Copy that. Then just give me about 45 seconds, and I'll fly over to the gym and be there to check it out with you.
Thank you.
You guys can feel free to come on board and route the gem cam video at any time.
Work.
Houston, station is with you on Space to Ground 2 from the gem, and I've got a good view of you guys on VME TV.
All right, Chris, we've got you loud and clear. How me?
I got you clear, a little bit quiet, but totally audible.
Copy, thank you.
It would help if I had the volume up, so there you go. I think you're great.
Good catch. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris.
And go ahead, Houston. This is the International Space Station. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, Chris, this is Michael Cloud, representing Texas 27th District. It's awesome to be talking with you today.
Hey, Representative Cloud, it's wonderful to get the chance to talk to you as well. Thanks for coming to visit, and thanks for spending a little bit of time with me up here.
What you and the team here at NASA does is extraordinary. It's inspirational to all of us. I remember being just a kid and inspired by what you're doing, and generation after generation, y'all are doing great work. Thank you for putting it all, the effort that goes behind the scenes, you and the team here, to make it happen and to make America proud.
Thank you so much for those words. It's, I was also always inspired as a kid by the work that NASA does, and it, you know, it's something that has inspired me throughout my whole life, and obviously led me here. But and I really appreciate your words also about the team. I mean, this is a huge enterprise, and you know, it takes the collaboration of a ton of people, not just, you know, folks up here on station or in mission control, but all throughout NASA to make our mission happen. And so, really appreciate it.
Sure thing. You have a physics background, I understand, which is way beyond my pay grade for sure. I'm curious to know what kind of experiments you can do in space, what kind of things we can learn, and where we're headed when it comes to all those sort of things versus what you can accomplish here.
I'm a physicist by background, there's actually a bunch of physics experiments that are going on the ISS that are, I think, are super interesting. One of the ones that that I might get a chance to help out with a little bit is called AMS, And it's a big particle detector that's actually mounted on the outside of the space station. And this needs to be in space. It can't be on the ground because a lot of the particles it detects basically interact with the Earth's atmosphere and basically go away. So we can't detect them with any detectors on the ground. And we may hopefully do some spacewalks in a little bit to do some maintenance on this detector, but it's running on the outside of space station. Another example of a physics experiment is something called Bose-Einstein condensates, and these are kind of, they're often called the fifth state of matter, but it's something that we can make on the ground, but the gravity kind of gets in the way of being able to make this sort of sustainable and survive for a long duration. But we have an experiment on board here where we can actually create this this state of matter and have it exist for a much longer time because of the fact that we're weightless, we're floating, and so are the experiments. So those are a couple of the cool physics things that we're doing. The other thing that's kind of neat is as astronauts, I mean, I'm a physicist by background, but we up here are really generalists. So I've been doing a lot of work on biology and stem cells lately, and we do all experiments in all different areas of science.
We have our entire team here, all of our offices, Washington, D.C. We have a corporate office and a Victoria office, but also I have with me my son, 15 years old. He's one of the young Americans who are inspired by what you're doing, wants to be an aerospace engineer one day. He has a question for you.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, it's not very engineering related, but I was just wondering what you miss about Earth most besides family and friends, because it's too obvious.
Yeah, that's a really great question, and you know, you hit the big one, of course, the biggest being family and friends. You know, it's hard being away for a long time. Other than that, you know, we're very well taken care of here. But I'll give you one example of something I was thinking about yesterday. I really miss taking a hot shower. you know, without gravity and without you know, the ability to basically keep things contained, we. You know, whenever we exercise up here a couple hours a day to stay healthy without gravity, and, you know, you always kind of clean up and take a quote-unquote shower after that, but really it involves taking a pouch full of warm water and basically giving yourself a sponge bath. So I'm really looking forward to a nice hot shower when I get back to Earth.
We have another guy with us, a young guy on our team. He handles our space stuff in our Ledge team. This is Sean. He had a question for you.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. I really appreciate it. My question is this. What is the most beautiful thing you've seen while on the ISS, and could you please explain why?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for the question. That's a hard one because there's a lot of there's a lot of beautiful things that you see from up here. I mean, the obvious one being looking out of the window and seeing the Earth below you. I mean, it's just breathtakingly beautiful, our planet. It's one of those things where I knew from talking to other folks that have flown to space that seeing the Earth from up here really gives you a different perspective on it. And I even being prepared, I wasn't prepared to see it. I would say a couple of the other things that have really been jaw-droppingly beautiful. There was a big solar event last week, and we had some of the most incredible aurora borealis that I've ever seen. And we were able to watch it and, you know, see the sky turn all different shades of red and green and purple all around us, swirling over the Earth. And then the other thing that's honestly just really beautiful to see is and, you know, maybe this is going to sound a little bit corny, but, you know, the people up here working together, the team up here is just absolutely awesome. And the crew that I was up here with not too long ago, just absolutely incredible. And just seeing everybody, how well everybody works together and how we all help each other to get stuff done is just heartwarming.
Michael again, back with you. One of the reasons we come here, we have our whole team here. Obviously, what you do is very inspiring for us, and it's, you know, it's a lot of fun too. I mean, but one reason we bring our whole team here is because you all do things with such great excellence to accomplish amazing feats. And so we come just trying to learn. what can we learn from a leadership and from a team building experience and that as well. I wonder if you had any wisdom you could share with us as a team that you've gleaned in your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I've found has been the most kind of, I would say sort of, one of the things I've been most impressed with since I came to NASA and started working in flight operations was how well folks are able to work both, always exhibiting leadership, but in leadership roles, but also in active followership roles. So, especially among the astronaut corps, when you're working on a crew of astronauts, everybody has been, high level leaders in their fields. But when you come together and work on a crew, you have to figure out how do you slot into that team. And sometimes, some days your role is to be the leader of that team and to drive it forwards, from a position where you're the one giving commands. Other days it's, to lead the team, but in a way where you're supporting the person who's in command and giving those commands. Sort of knowing when to kind of flip between those roles and when you're not the leader by designation. How do you lead and how do you support that person to get the mission done in the best way possible? That's something I've seen here at NASA more so than anywhere else I've been. People are adept at flipping between those roles to accomplish the mission, which I think is really awesome to see.
That's great. Appreciate it. We were watching a video the other day talked about the first follower. It's kind of a fun video, but that reminds us of that. I'm curious, we're potentially just a couple weeks away from going back to the moon, and your thoughts on that and what that means for America, our country, science, everything.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see Artemis 2 launch and see where my friends travel around the moon. I think it's incredibly inspiring, and it's inspiring to me seeing us do this. I think, to me, NASA has always represented us pushing the boundaries and doing incredibly difficult things that make us go further. And I think the International Space Station has been a great embodiment of that. We've been up here 25 years continuously in orbit and are pushing the bounds of science, but there's something to physically just pushing the bounds of where we've been before. And we've been to the moon back in the Apollo program, but now we're going in a much more sustainable way and bringing that to the 21st century. And I think that having folks see us in a very visible way, continue to push the boundaries, I think will make people inspired that, hey, we can do really difficult things. We can go further. And I think we're also going to learn a ton scientifically about the origin of our moon and our Earth, and the history of our Earth from that, which I think is going to be really, really fascinating scientifically. But I think from an inspiration standpoint, I think it's really going to be something that's going to help our country, help our world, just sort of refocus on the fact that when we work together, we can do really hard and incredible things that push all of us forward.
Carrie on our team would like to know, what do you all do to kind of stay occupied? How do you spend your day on the ISS? What are you all doing together? What do you do for fun up there?
Yeah, that's a great question. We generally have pretty busy work days. We kind of start our work day at around 7:30 in the morning and go to about 7:30 in the evening, although 2.5 hours of that kind of time is occupied with exercise to stay healthy. We need that to, keep our bones strong without, the constant influence of gravity. In the downtime, in the evenings and that sort of thing, and on the weekends, I love calling family and friends. I think people we thankfully have a pretty good connectivity nowadays, and so it's fun to give old friends a call. They get a real big kick out of getting a call from the space station. The other thing for me that I've been spending a lot of time doing is photography. The view here is just absolutely incredible, and every 90 minutes you're orbiting the Earth and seeing a new part of the world, sometimes at day, sometimes at night, and so some of the nighttime city lights, I've loved taking pictures of those. Also, just places that I've, places that I've lived and been, at home, and also places that I'd love to travel. It's kind of interesting to look out the window. You have two other cosmonauts up here, and we'll try to get together and share meals. That's always really nice. Or have a cup of tea together in the evenings to just kind of chat, which is also nice too.
A couple other questions we got for you. What's your favorite food up there? I'm curious if you're going to get to watch the Super Bowl, and if so, who you're rooting for, what you might be snacking on while you're watching. And then, in the context of like, which way is up for you, could have a request to see you do a flip?
Yeah, absolutely. Favorite food is a tough one. I know a lot of people have like things that are their like super comfort foods. For me, the thing that I've really enjoyed the most is variety. The food up here is actually pretty good. It's like camping food for the most part, or backpacking food. Some of it's rehydratable, some of it's like canned, some of it's preserved, but in other ways it's irradiated or thermostabilized. But it's all pretty good, and we have a pretty nice variety. Some of the things I've enjoyed the most, we recently had a Japanese astronaut up here, and he has a bunch of Japanese space food. We have some like space food from the European Space Agency, and we've got some of our American food, and just sort of rotating through those has been something that I've really enjoyed, just trying a bunch of different things. We can't really have bread per se, so we have a lot of tortillas, and so I have learned that you can really make a taco out of anything, and it's pretty, pretty delicious. Let's see, the Super Bowl. I am definitely planning on watching the Super Bowl. I don't think I have enough energy to stay up late and watch it live, since we're on Greenwich Mean Time here. And you know, honestly, neither of my teams are in the Super Bowl, so I'm not really rooting strongly for anybody. I kind of just want to see a nice game. That's kind of the cop out answer, but I don't have a super strong affiliation on this one. But what will I eat during the game? We do have some chili, rehydratable chili up here, and that was always one of my traditions back home. I love hosting Super Bowl parties and making like a big pot of chili and cornbread and invite a bunch of friends over. And so I'm gonna definitely eat some chili up here and maybe rehydrate some chili for our cosmonaut colleagues if they want to watch the game with me. Oh yeah, and the last one is what orientation is up? So. For me, it's kind of interesting. When I came up here, one of the biggest things that took a little while to get used to was that, you know, up doesn't really mean anything up here. The space station is kind of laid out with the floor for the most part and like lights on one particular side. But yeah, you can kind of work in whatever orientation makes the most sense. And about the first week I got up here, anytime you'd kind of like flip sideways, like it would, you know, make your brain like a little bit confused. But after about a week, you start getting used to it, and after about 3 weeks, it's just totally natural that like whatever direction you want to work in today is totally fine, no big deal.
Well, we thank you so much for spending some time with us today, and really appreciate it. It's been a whole lot of fun, and again, you and what y'all do here are such an inspiration. Want to thank you, especially right now, for you're the link in our uninterrupted presence in space as America. So thank you for being that and keeping it going. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys taking the time to come and talk to me and to visit us. And it's a huge honor to be up here representing our country. And I really, you know, appreciate the fact that, you know, space flight's a huge team sport, and that includes the work that you guys do on the Hill. So, you know, really appreciate everything. And it was great talking to you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your visit at JSC. Thank you.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Timeline at your convenience.
Right on 2 for Chris.
Hey, Chris. We're hoping to give you some words now so that we can cancel the USOS portion of the evening DPC if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. That works for me. I'm all ears.
All right. I've got three things for you then. First, we'd like a quick follow-up about the Cygnus duct. Were you able to get that rerouted, and did you happen to take any photos of the final config?
I have not done it yet. That was going to be my evening prep work after my conference, but I'll get it done, and I'll put some photos up for you before I kick off on it.
Awesome. Thank you. Second, the AdLink mini PC at Node 2 Starboard 3 isn't communicating with the ground, so we would like a hard power cycle using procedure 2.16.101, step 5.
Copy that. The AdLink at Node 2 Starboard 3, which I am staring at, is not responding. Yeah, interesting. It's got a blinking Ethernet light, but a solid orange and a blinking yellow. Anyway, yep, 2.16.101, step 5 for a hard power cycle on it. I'll do that.
Thank you. And finally, we agree with your assessment of the Dragon config that the A and C straps should go over the Norris tank, and that the 1.8 CTB is friction fit. Tomorrow's stow track activity is being updated with an image for you.
Copy. That makes total sense. It'll be friction fit, and then when we put the other straps to go the other direction, then it'll be totally secure in. So that makes total sense to me. Thank you for confirming that, because I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah, you got it. You are not going crazy. And great. With that out of the way, we can cancel the USOS portion of the evening DPC, and I've had Makoto-san sitting with me today, and we've really enjoyed working with you.
Oh, likewise. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's great to have you there, Makoto-san. I hope it I hope it was an interesting day, and great. Looking forward to seeing you up here soon enough.
Hi, Chris. This is Makoto. Great working with you.
That's great to hear you. Great to hear your voice. Hope things are going great down in Houston.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
In Houston, station on 2, before I lose you, the AdLink power cycle has been completed. So whenever you guys get you back and give it a check.
Copy and work. Thank you.